The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm calling my shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Good Monday morning. Hopefully you're as happy as we are to be here in the Auction Community Studios, because today is the first day the Arizona Cardinals put pads on, and I won't be talking for the next 4 hours. Here goes Wolf.
Oh, baby. Here it is, Basinonians. Yes, indeed. The first day you're actually going to need a mouth guard.
Today is the first day of real hitting.
Pop that thing into your mouth right now. Smear on the eye black, baby. Here we go. The first day of pads for the Arizona Cardinals. My only question is this right here. Where are you going to go? Where will your eyes be if you're going to go to this practice? Who are you going to be watching when contact begins? That's what I want to know right now. It used to be a situation, I guarantee you right now. You'd have Oklahoma Basinonians. That was the drill that was going to happen. You were going to stretch, you'd get warm, you'd get loose, you'd go through individual, and then all of a sudden they'd blow the whistle and you'd go to group, what's called group. And invariably, group would mean for the offensive lineman, Oklahoma drill against the defensive lineman. And here we go. One of the most brutal drills you could ever do. You line up one guy, you line the other guy up over him, and then you blow the whistle and the other guy tries to bury you. And you're trying to bury him. And you've got your guy standing behind you, and he's got his guy standing behind him with his coaches. It is the hair on the back of my neck is standing up right now because of what that drill was all about. Running backs would have linebacker blitz pickup. That's where you'd go ahead, line a guy up, whether he was an inside linebacker or an outside linebacker, line him up. You'd get in like the I formation, or maybe he had a split back or an offset, and then you'd go ahead and he'd rush the passer, and you had to be ready for the bull or you had to be ready for the flip. Either one. You had to be ready. Here it comes. You were going to get run over, or you were going to have to move your feet, because he was going to try to dance. And it was such a brutal drill, it really was, because if you guessed wrong, you were probably on your back. Just the most physical thing you could possibly do. That was almost invariably in every camp I've ever heard of. That was probably going to be how you started your day in the first day of pads.
Zaven Collins.
To answer the question, you're going all the way back to Zaven Collins.
You asked the question, but then you were going for a while, so now I'm answering.
Zaven Collins looks good. He looks good, man. He looks good in his uni right now. But you know what? Getting your hands on footballs, batting it into the air like he did on Saturday, which was really, really nice, that's great. And that's exactly what they love about Zaven Collins. It's exactly what they love about Isaiah Simmons, as well as their athleticism and their length. Man, now if you tell me they're going to stick their face into the fire, you got gold.
Saturday's practice, Zaven Collins was coming across the middle, but kept his eyes on the quarterback, reached back, tipped a pass that then was returned for a Cardinals interception. But that's still the guy that I'm watching, both whether we're talking about hitting during team or whether we're talking about, more specifically, if we're going to see an actual physical practice, like real life, as you call it, backs on backers, whether we're really going to see.
We won't see that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. I just wanted to try to hope. So, yeah, therefore.
We're not going to see Oklahoma either.
See what he does in different drills and things like that, just to see how he handles being in the NFL, because it's one thing to think clearly and do everything correctly as a green dot player when you're not getting hit in the face. But as the great American philosopher Mike Tyson once said, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. Zaven Collins is the guy. Zaven Collins and Isaiah Simmons, just following those two guys around, they're just fascinating. Isaiah Simmons has already proven to be, he'll stick his face into the fire, ladies and gentlemen. Ron Wolfley reporting, he will. I've seen him do it. And that's what matters to me. Taking on a guard. I've seen him bust somebody. I've seen him tackle somebody with his face, leading with his face. And then, of course, rapping with his arms. I've seen him do that. It doesn't mean you're leading with your helmet. It just means you lead with your face and then move it as you make the tackle. That, to me, is very, very important. I've seen him bust Cam Newton right in the chops. Would you say Cam Newton is a big man running? Yes,
yes,
he is a big man running. And the fact that Isaiah Simmons busted him on the sideline, I love that. Absolutely loved it. I didn't think it was a penalty. They threw the flag because he was a quarterback, and I get that. But if that was a running back, they wouldn't have thrown the flag. He was in bounds when he hit him. And Isaiah Simmons already proved to me that he'd stick his face into the fire. Zaven Collins, big dude. Man, you look at Zaven Collins from the waist down. You're just blown away, ladies and gentlemen. This is a dude who's got thick legs, thick base from Zaven Collins. So hopefully that's going to bode well for holding up at the point of attack.
So hopefully that's what we'll see today with hitting going on. And, of course, we are going to be live there tomorrow, both of us this time, on Tuesday, the Doug and Wolf Show, live mostly for the rest of the week from Cardinals practice. Today's an afternoon practice, but then the rest of the week they're going in the morning, and the two of us will be there.
Hello.
Yes, good morning. This is the Arizona Sports Broadcast with your wake-up call.
Thank you.
Maloney's got the day off. Minch is filling in as the producer of the Doug and Wolf Show with everything you want before you walk into work.
I'll take your cue, Wolf. Chris Paul reportedly opts out of his final year with the Suns, set to be a free agent.
Good, because I think it means he's re-signing, and it's not just for 1 year. The old deal was for 1 year, and you'd have a massive problem of salary cap implications of a $44 million contract, and hopefully that number is going to be in the $20 million a year range, but it's probably for 3 years, maybe $25 million a year.
This is great news for the Phoenix Suns because it's not 1 year, it's multiple years, right?
We hope. We find out later on this afternoon.
Jordan Hicks, quote, "I was told I couldn't compete," end quote, for starting Mike Backer job.
This is a tough situation right here. It really is, because honestly, I don't understand it. I don't understand how you don't allow anybody to compete for a position. More on this as the show unfolds, because there's more to this story, right?
I think it's one of the biggest mistakes of Steve Keim's career if it went down that way. I think that's a terrible thing. And here's the thing. Even if that's not exactly what happened, what matters is that's what Jordan Hicks thinks happens, and that's what he's saying to other people in the locker room. And that means you have a locker room full of veterans that are thinking, I don't get to compete for my job.
Cardinals' Cliff Kingsbury says he's all for Kyler Murray's input on roster moves.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, because Cliff doesn't really... isn't that involved either?
Yeah, you know, it's just a situation right now where if I'm a general manager and I've got a young, developing franchise quarterback who's going into his third year, I'm not probably going to ask his opinion his rookie year. I'm probably not going to ask his opinion the second year. But if I got a guy that has won the Offensive Rookie of the Year and gone to the Pro Bowl his second year, and he's my franchise quarterback, I'm going to get his input on some of these personnel decisions, no doubt about it. But he's not making up my mind for me. He's not making the decision. No way.
Kawhi Leonard also opts out of his final year with the Clippers, setting up for a wild start of NBA free agency.
I think it's wrong for anyone to ever act like they know what Kawhi Leonard's going to do. So we know that he's opted out because it's past tense. What he's going to do now is future tense, and ever assuming you know what Kawhi's going to do, I think, is a mistake.
No, I'm with you on that one right there, Kawhi Leonard. I have no idea what's going on, but not really a big surprise for the Clippers. The Miami Heat, they declined Andre Iguodala, his option, and they went ahead and actually picked up Goran Dragic. I love Dragic. I don't know what happened to the Miami Heat, but I will tell you right now, I love the competitor that Goran Dragic is.
The D-backs get shut out in series finale, beat down by Dodgers. Welcome in, Giants.
Who are the first place team. Here's all you need to know about yesterday's game. The Diamondbacks had four hits. A.J. Pollock had four hits.
Yeah. Boy, that was bad. Brutal. The rubber match did not go well, did it?
No. Diamondbacks take on the Giants tonight, 6:40, first pitch right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The two major topics today are Jordan Hicks and Chris Paul. We'll take Chris Paul next because that's the good news this morning. Why is it good that Chris Paul is now officially not a Sun? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Keeping an eye out on Olympic baseball while we talk about the one. The U.S. is up 6-5 against Japan in the bottom of the eighth inning. We'll keep you updated on that if you are into the Olympics, because that's it's not the – I do not believe it is the gold medal game. Please underline, I do not believe it is, because I don't want to act like I've been following it too closely, but I'm pretty confident this sets up the seeds for the medal round, but it does not determine who actually gets medals. And as soon as I say that, the U.S. just threw the ball into center field on a stolen base attempt, so now there's a runner on third, but there is two outs. The one this morning is it was tough because it is a major national story with the Jordan Hicks situation, but I think that's going to find a way to resolve itself. And as of right now, we don't know what the future of Chris Paul is. So we're going to make that the one. That's the number one story that you need to know. It's always at 15 after the hour here on the Doug and Wolf Show. And with Chris Paul opting out, he's now officially a free agent, and starting at 3 o'clock today, he can talk to any NBA team about leaving. And that sounds like a terrible thing. It sounds terrible. Chris Paul officially is no longer a Sun. But most of us totally believe this is a great thing because you're about to get Chris Paul on a better contract, which brings up the great topic, and I mean – you talk about sticking your eggs in one basket, the old Amari Stoudemire knee conversation from 10 years ago, and that is, are you ready to sign this man who rarely gets through an entire season healthy to a three-year contract?
Yeah.
I say yes, because I totally believe getting rid of the $44 million player option and getting his salary down to the $25 million range per year, you're going to get enough bang for your buck over the course of next 3 years that it's worth it. I hope this happens.
This is great news, of course, for the Phoenix Suns right here. This news, it means that Chris Paul is going to be here, be a Phoenix Sun for more than 1 year. That's what we're all thinking right now, right? And, I mean, can you imagine if this is not the case? Can you imagine if Chris Paul did go somewhere else? I'm just throwing this up there, ladies and gentlemen, because it's a joke, right? Let's look up at the board and say that's never going to happen. It's never going to happen where Chris Paul is going to go and be a free agent and suddenly sign with another team. Chris Paul, this means he's going to sign a contract here for multiple years. That's what it sounds like to all of us. That's what we all expect. What a slap in the face, bag over the head, kick to the cradle this would be if it wasn't the case.
Unless there's something shocking, like the Knicks have a ton of cap room, and the agent there for Devin Booker, Leon Rose, is the guy that's the GM now.
Leon.
So you can't help but be scared that maybe Chris Paul is thinking, hey, we're gonna make a way for you to get to New York, get all the attention. Dame Lillard, maybe it's Chris Paul and Dame Lillard in New York, something like that, as the rumors of Lillard wanting out and possibly going somewhere, they're there. All those rumors are there. But I feel really good. Remember what James Jones said. This was our Friday conversation, so the draft was Thursday night. Suns don't make a pick. James Jones, the general manager, joins us Friday morning, and we asked him, do you feel good about the chances of bringing him back for more years?
I feel good about our chances. This is free agency, though. You know, things change, but I've said time and time again, I like where we are and what we have to offer. I value what Chris brings to the table, and I know he loves being around this team and being with this program. Mm. So I think we have as good a chance as anyone, and I feel confident that we'll be able to keep the continuity that we established and we built this year.
Yeah, that really boosted all of our confidence levels in regard to Chris Paul staying a Phoenix Sun. Why would he go anywhere else? Why would he go anywhere else? The Lakers? No. Russell Westbrook? No Lakers. The Clippers? That ship has sailed, ladies and gentlemen. Monty Williams? How about Monty Williams here? Do you think Chris Paul likes playing for Monty Williams? Yes.
Yes.
Devin Booker? Yes.
Yes.
45-minute flight to L.A.? Yes.
Yes.
More money over multiple years? Yes.
Yes.
James Jones?
Yes.
Yes. Robert Sarver? Yes. So many. No, Robert Sarver, give him his due. So many reasons why this is an emphatic yes for Chris Paul.
I was made to feel really good. Another reason is Brian Windhorst, of all things, made me feel good.
Why?
He is an NBA insider for ESPN, and I just asked for Minch to give it to me, and there's no way he's going to be able to turn it around that fast, as we call it in the business. But Brian Windhorst was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the ESPN NBA insider, earlier this morning, and he was talking about the Lakers. And we can all say, listen, you feel good immediately when Russell Westbrook becomes a Laker. That means Chris Paul isn't going back to L.A. But there was another thing he said. Right now, with four human beings on the roster, the Lakers are already over the cap.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, it's a soft cap. You can go over it, but still, they're already over the cap with four people. And Brian Windhorst speculated that they're going to need to sign 10 different players, all at the veterans minimum.
Wow.
So if you're losing Chris Paul to the Lakers because he wants to go closer to home, he's agreeing to say no thank you to $44 million on a one-year deal with the Suns.
Yo.
As a guy that's high up, I think he's the president of the Players Association, that really doesn't look good in that situation. Here is Brian Windhorst explaining the situation for the Lakers. And at the time he said this, it had nothing to do with Chris Paul, but I took it as everything to do with Chris Paul.
I honestly believe that the Lakers are going to need to sign 10 minimum players. What you just heard me.
10
minimum players. That means that they are going to have to look for guys to take discounts and fill different roles all across the board. So any player that you have that you think that they could get on the minimum, whether it's a guy like Carmelo Anthony, all the way down to a low-level shooter who just got released yesterday, a guy named Matt Thomas, they're going to be in the game for all.
Wow, and that is incredible.
So when he said for all, the question was about where is Andre Iguodala going to go? Because some people think he's going to go back to Golden State and play there. And Brian Windhorst was saying, hey, the Lakers need to find any veteran they can get their hands on that are going to play at the veterans minimum.
Mm-hmm.
So think about this gap for Chris Paul. If you're going to the Lakers, you've said no to $44.5 million as the president of the Players Association. That doesn't look very good. You're saying no to whatever contract extension the Suns are offering you for probably 3 years between $70 and $100 million. And you're saying yes to 1 year at the league minimum to play for the Lakers. That makes you feel even better that Chris Paul is going to be a Sun.
You're right about that, Doug Lee. And one of the other things I love about the fact that Chris Paul did indeed opt out, and we're all expecting him to sign a multi-year contract with the Phoenix Suns, is I think that that might be able to give the Suns a little bit of breathing room to go after campaign. And if I, honestly, at what point in time does Chris Paul say to himself, hey, listen, I'm absolutely fine. I've got everything that I possibly need right here. If you need more money, you know what? Let's go ahead and work that into this long-term deal. And there's been, you've heard whispers and you've heard a little smoke or seen a little smoke, I should say, that is out there about this very thing right now. If in fact that happens, that would be awesome if Chris Paul pulled a Tom Brady, basically, and said, you know what, I'm good on this. Let's go get that guy.
Texas, your thoughts on Chris Paul re-signing to the FanDuel text line. You can text in at 620-620. Do me a favor, though. Please include your name when you send in a text so we can give you credit. Because unless your text is just the greatest text of all time, I try not to read any of them if they're not named. But I think that this does not come without risk. I mean, Chris Paul, health-wise, could easily have 3 years, and this could be an obnoxious contract because you don't get the production that's worth it. I just look at the alternative. I accept totally how big of a gamble this is to give a player that's had some injuries in his career at 36 years old a three-year contract extension. But when I look at the alternative between 10-year drought of playoffs, 2-0 lead in the NBA Finals. Now, yes, nothing is guaranteed. This team is going to be better, even if they didn't have Chris Paul. But don't you think they're fighting for possibly home court advantage? Don't you think they're fighting to avoid the elimination game without Chris Paul? And with Chris Paul, I think it's totally fair to say they're in the mix for the Western Conference Finals. And then, as we learn, maybe even beyond that. That's such a big gap to me. I think it's worth the risk of a Chris Paul getting another injury to sign him for 3 years.
Yeah, I think you're right on that, Doug Lease, but this guy takes care of his body. He's such a pro. He is a pro's pro. Here's the one thing we know is not going to happen, that Chris Paul is going to sign this multi-year deal and then suddenly go soft. That's the one thing we know is never going to happen. He's going to be 39 and balling out, right? Because that's who Chris Paul is. I don't worry about that ever in regard to Chris Paul and the edge coming off of Chris Paul. Some guys just have that competitive edge. Some guys just have that, and it's innate. And with Chris Paul, I believe it's innate. Injury? Who knows?
Now, this is Bobby Marks, one of our favorite guests. He was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin earlier this morning here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Used to be a high-ranking official with the New Jersey Nets in their front office, and now he's the ESPN kind of front office guy to explain different contracts or different moves. And he was just asked straight out, what do you think is going to happen with Chris Paul?
I think he's going back to Phoenix. I think what he did was he opted out of that number, and now he's going to add length to that, to his contract. Probably start a little bit lower, maybe around $35 million. And what that could do is help them bring Campaign back, their other free agent point guard. And then you could see Chris, you know, for years 2 and 3. You know, I'm thinking somewhere around 3 years, $100 million plus for Chris. But I don't expect him to be taking meetings when we get going in free agency later.
Not even taking meetings. But how about that number, 3 years, $100 million?
Yeah, no, I know, man. I don't know. I really don't. But I do love the fact he mentioned Campaign. Love that.
Yeah, that's that has a lot to do with this opportunity. Coming up next, I was in the room. I was in the room when he said it. I couldn't believe he said it. And then when he was asked just an offhanded quick question, who called, he answered, Steve Keim. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Training camp coverage brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer and 72 Soul.
Hi, this is Zaven Collins. You're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Oh, yeah, this is where we coming in. Oh, yeah.
Let's go!
There's such a business-like approach, and that's been impressive to me. Guys like JJ, guys like Malcolm Butler, and then all the way to Zaven Collins.
You're Mike Backer, who's your quarterback, and that's Zaven. That's Zaven Collins.
He's planning on coming in there and starting game one.
Nothing's given. You got to earn everything, so that's just what I'm trying to do. Every snap, every day.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals. Now.
And that's the big topic when you say nothing's given, because it appears like something is given. Good morning, Doug and Wolf live here in the Auction Community Studios. First day of hitting today going on for the Arizona Cardinals. We've got a lot to get to today, but there is a topic that maybe no one in the NFL is necessarily hung up about, of who is the starting Mike linebacker for the Arizona Cardinals. It's not like we've been accused of being the monsters of the Midway in the last few years or so, but it's the subject matter of how they got there has become a major topic across the NFL.
I have never heard this at any coaching level that I've ever played at.
That's Jeff Saturday this morning, the former center of Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, that airs right before the Doug and Wolf show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I'll play you the quote a little longer from him in just a second. But what you need to know is what happened Saturday. Practice is over. The press conference begins. Jordan Hicks of the Arizona Cardinals is at the podium. And the first question to him is, you know, are you surprised, you know, that you're here? Did you think you'd still be here? And he kind of laughed and, you know, and he answered it. And then the second question was, you know, what's going on? He starts to answer the question, is such a good guy. He then talks about Zaven, because he doesn't want it to sound like Zaven Collins is thrown under the bus. And then while one, you're gonna, it might sound confusing, one member of the media starts to ask a question, and another member of the media just says, "Who called?" So that's what, that when you hear the break, you'll just hear the, you won't hear the question, but it's who called.
It was tough, right? Obviously, I got a call a few days after the draft saying that I couldn't compete for the job. And so, you know, when I heard that, that was the whole reason behind all the drama. And you know, there's nothing against Zaven or the kid is awesome. He's a great player. He's done nothing but great things out there. He's going to have a bright future in the NFL. But you know, when everything happened, it was tough to handle. So that was kind of the beginning of what you say the offseason was. Yeah. It was Steve
Keim right there, you know. And once again, listen, I respect the fact Steve Keim told Jordan Hicks that he wasn't going to have a chance to compete for the job. I just don't know why he would say that. There has to be a reason why, Doug Lease. But I don't
Does
know
there?
What that reason is. I thought maybe it was because Hicks requested a trade. Maybe, you know, okay, oh, you drafted Zaven Collins, number 16 in the first round. Okay, so you drafted my position. Maybe Jordan Hicks requested a trade. That's what I thought, maybe. But according to Hicks, he was told he couldn't compete for the job before he requested a trade.
There are NFL protocols, which truthfully, I don't fully understand. I'm not questioning it. I don't understand the science behind it. I am a credentialed member of the media, but I can't ask questions. And it's nobody slamming me. It's not like, man, we don't like the Doug and Wolf show. It is due to my tier status as a member of the media that has not passed all the protocols of COVID-19. So therefore, I'm allowed to attend the press conference, but I need to sit in the back and not ask questions. And again, don't take that as I'm complaining, because they've told me exactly what I'm supposed to do to get cleared to ask questions, and I haven't had a chance to do it.
Vax up, max up.
Yes.
Lease, all right.
So I had the vax. I had the vax and I had the mask, but I didn't have the recent testing was the negative for me. So I could not ask the question you're exactly bringing up.
Yes.
What was the timeline? But the way Jordan Hicks talks about this, the timeline was take a pay cut, Zaven, and again, he did not say this, but this is what I'm assuming from his comments, take a pay cut, draft your replacement, be told you can't compete for the job, then ask for a trade. And it was in that order.
Every player understands the business side of this game that we play, right, of the NFL. And so there's a part of you that is pissed off, right? Because all you want to do is have an opportunity to compete. But then at the same time, you know, you understand it. You know, understand that Steve is doing his job and is doing what he has to do to, you know, further the team, per se, in his opinion. So, you know, I respected the fact that he told me straight up. I respected the fact that, you know, he told me he was going to work with me to try to, you know, honor a trade. And so, you know, there's a part of you that respects it, but then there's a part of you that just wishes you had an opportunity to compete, which is all I asked for.
It's just so confusing to me. It really is. Listen, the one thing about football, basically, it's a meritocracy. By your merit, you get playing time. By your performance, you're weighed, measured, and either found wanting or given a starting job. I don't understand that approach on that. There had to be a reason why Steve Keim told him that. I don't know what that is, but there had to be, right? I mean, even if Zaven Collins wins the job and is better than Jordan Hicks, let him earn the position. It's going to benefit Zaven Collins in the long run to go through that process.
It's also what it does to Zaven is none of this is his fault, and it feels that way. You know, I mean, if you're a veteran in there, why should you believe he earned the job when he didn't have to compete for it? Why should you believe, and unless the tape is striking during the preseason games and during the practices, it's not going to seem like he's really earned it. And I stare at the Cardinals as an entire organization and say, how does this benefit you? I mean, how in any way does it look good? I mean, we could sit and rip the Cardinals all we want or support the Cardinals all we want. All that matters is what's going on in the locker room. And I don't understand how any veteran in the locker room feels good about this, and that's why I'll give you the whole comment from Jeff Saturday on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
I have never heard this at any coaching level that I've ever played at. I mean, it's like, you know Peyton Manning's not getting pushed for his job, right? Like, yeah. You know Tom Brady, but no coach ever says that, right? But the beginning of every meeting of every season is nobody's got a position. Everybody's got to go earn it. He calls him and says, hey, man, you got no shot. Like, how disheartening is that? And again, that he came out to the media and said it. How disheartening is that for the rest of the squad? Like, all these dudes are sitting around going, hey, man, I got no shot, right? I'm just going to try to stay healthy, bounce to some team where I can start. Like, that's a poor way to design a football team. Like, you want all the energy, and yeah. You and I both know, Bart, like, we compete with the other teams. Yeah. We compete with the other teams on Sunday. You know, Monday through Saturday, bro, we're competing with those guys in our own locker room. That's what makes us better, keeping you on the edge of, do you keep your job? Can I earn a job? I mean, I don't understand the mindset at all. And I do think it's disheartening if you're sitting in that locker room, you're going, man, if the general manager's saying this, what are they saying behind closed doors, you know, when nobody's around? It just, it baffles me that was ever even said.
Yeah, you know what? It baffles me as well. I'm with Jeff Saturday on that. Exactly why they're doing it, I do not know, Basonians. I'm surprised Jordan Hicks is actually still here. Because anytime that you get a guy that wanted a trade, and he did want to trade at some point in time, but if they told him that he wasn't going to get the opportunity to compete for his job, I'd ask for a trade too.
Yeah, I don't understand how Steve Keim thinks this was a good idea. Lastly, listen to, if you are a general manager on another team, imagine how excited you are to hear this answer. If you're remotely interested in Jordan Hicks, Jordan was asked the very good question: if you outplay Zaven Collins, what should happen? Listen, I sit here all the time as a talk show host and tell you how you should handle different media questions. I would have fallen on this one, as I would have said immediately, I should start. I'm the better player. Mm-hmm. We have a better chance to win. If I outplay him, that's exactly what I'm owed. I would have fallen into that, and listen to where Jordan Hicks goes.
I don't think that's it's hard for me to say. I don't make those decisions. I don't know what necessarily is best for a guy in terms of bringing him in or bringing him out. You know, I think whoever is playing the best and they have the most trust in and see, you know, us being the best defense in or with, you know, I think that should be those people should be on the field, whether that's me and Zaven and Isaiah, you know, whether that's just two of us. You know, I think this game, especially, I mean, this year is such a make or break year. You know, we've got to win games, and this division isn't getting any easier, right? And so we've got to focus on winning. We've got to focus on you know, execution. And you know, that's, like I said, that's not necessarily my question. A question for me, that's us got to put trust in VJ and Cliff to be us, put us in the best position for that.
Man, yes. Don't you want that guy on your team?
Speaking of VJ right there, Vance Joseph, of course, ran a 34 defensive front out there against power personnel groups on Saturday. A 34 front. A 3-4, ladies and gentlemen, 3 down linemen, 4 linebackers. It was Chandler Jones, Jordan Hicks, and Zaven Collins on the inside, and Isaiah Simmons getting reps against power personnel groups as an outside linebacker. Isaiah Simmons and Chandler Jones on the edge, and then you had Zaven Collins and Jordan Hicks on the inside. That was really interesting to me. Here's a guy that you're not going to allow to compete for a job, and yet he's in a personnel group?
Jordan Hicks was asked in the middle of the presser, is it any consolation to be in packages with Isaiah Simmons and Zaven Collins at the same time? And now keep in mind that phrase. Is it any consolation to be in that?
I mean, consolation is in, like, making me feel better. I just want to play, man. You know, I want to be out there on the field. That's why I'm here. I love playing this game.
Oh,
I mean, he was fantastic at the press.
There was a real possibility maybe this will motivate Jordan Hicks, because last year he didn't play.
I don't want to deny that at all.
Last year he did not play.
You're right about
that. And I hope Jordan Hicks would be the first one to acknowledge that. And maybe this will be a stick in the eye.
At 3 o'clock today, the Suns are allowed to call Chris Paul and say, hey, we'd like you to play with us. Here's a contract offer. How's that going to go? And something really, really interesting is about to happen in the Western Conference, we think. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I want you to hear something that was said earlier this morning that really got me thinking about NBA free agency. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. A lot of Cardinals today because today is the first day of hitting. And the national news that Jordan Hicks was told he's not going to be having the opportunity to compete for his job. He already knew that somebody was drafted to replace him, but to not even get the chance to compete as the starter. So we've talked about that in the last beautiful part of the program. If you just tuned in, that'll be coming up again in a little less than an hour. And Bobby Marks is going to join us at 7:30. He's the NBA front office insider from ESPN. So when he joins us, we'll get a hard quarter into Chris Paul. So let's look at a similar situation to Chris Paul, but not quite as much money. Chris Paul over the weekend has officially opted out of his contract. So it's a 1-year, $44 million deal that only he has the right to say yes or no to. The Suns can't say never mind. And he opted out, which means he's not getting $44 million next year. And the only way you would opt out is if you're confident you're going to make a lot more. And basketball-wise, to a man, almost everyone believes that the best spot for Chris Paul is remaining a Sun. And James Jones even told us on Friday,
I feel good about our chances.
And when we talked to him about the chances of Chris Paul remaining. So that's number one. And anybody that's in the media that speculates they think he's staying, I think that they're probably right. Brian Windhorst said something this morning, though, on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin about a second opting out. Kawhi Leonard has opted out of his contract with the Clippers. And I think if you're a Suns fan, this is something to pay attention to, because depending on what you think of the Westbrook-LeBron-James marriage in on the other side, I was going to say the other side of L.A., but they play in the same building, but on the other side of the court, I guess, I don't know who you think is the favorite going into the season next year to win the West. The Jazz are the ones that were the number one seed, but the Lakers will probably be motivated to actually play basketball this year, unlike last year. Then there's the Suns, who are the two seed and the defending Western Conference champions. But what about the Clippers? With what they did that was underperforming in the eyes of most, well, it's everyone in the media is speculating that Kawhi Leonard did the same thing as Chris Paul. He opted out in order to sign a contract extension. I think you'll agree with that until you hear Brian Windhorst this morning.
Very strange the way Kawhi operates. I really can't figure him out, and he does a very good job of keeping cards close to the vest, so I can't really tell you what I think he's going to do. I mean, there is an expectation within the league that he's going to resign, but I'm not going there yet. What I think is strange is him opting out of his contract is not really the best financial decision he could make. If he was 100% going to stay with the Clippers, he would stay into his contract and extend off of that. That financially would be the best decision. Also, if he had done that, he would have enabled the Clippers to apply for a disabled player exception, which would have given them a $10 million one-time exception they could use to sign a player in free agency that could add to that. By him opting out, they lose that. So that is not him operating in concert with the team, which makes me wonder what his intentions are. I'm not projecting what his intentions are. I'm just saying that he doesn't seem to be operating in concert with the Clippers. So I'm going to sit back and wait. I do not expect him to have a resolution in the short term here. He did this for a reason, and I'm going to try to figure out why he did that.
So again, that was Brian Windhorst, NBA insider for ESPN. So in the convoluted message is, for him to make more money, it's opt in and then sign a contract extension.
Yeah.
What's best for the Clippers is that he opts in, and since he's still a Clipper, because of the torn ACL and the potential surgery and everything the like, you now get an exception off your salary cap to go sign somebody for the upcoming season.
Right.
So it's better for the player and the Clippers that he opts in. Opted out.
Yeah. First of all, do you ever know the mind of Kawhi Leonard?
No.
No, you do not know the mind of Kawhi Leonard. But the fact that he would opt out in this situation when he's got an ACL that he's trying to get repaired. I mean, he's trying to rehab this ACL, a torn ACL. You would think it'd be an almost no-brainer to actually opt into this contract with the Clippers.
Unless
you're thinking about the possibility of getting out that door, man, that's fascinating.
So the reason why I wanted you to hear that as a Suns fan is that totally changes the dynamic of the Western Conference if he either moves to another Western Conference team or even more specifically if he moves out of the Western Conference. And then that changes everything. Wow. Text Pepsi to 620-620 right now for a chance to win custom Ketel Marte cleats and a copy of MLB The Show 2021 and also an exclusive suite experience for you and your friends. Text Pepsi to 620-620. All right, I got a little game for you this morning. Feel free to tweet us at DougAndWolf987, or you can text us on the FanDuel text line at 620-620 about any predictions that you'd like to make. As the gambling over-under lines have been set, although they will continue to change based on betting, but what's so interesting about them is whichever way you go on this, the thought process, the why. Why do you think this is about to happen? For an example, here is prop bet number one. Kyler Murray over under yards passing this year. The number is set at 4,125.
Okay.
Now, in order to put that into context, here's what you're predicting. Will Kyler Murray average more than 242 yards passing a game?
No.
Or under 242 yards passing a game?
Boy, let's see. Let me think about that right here. I think they're actually going to attack the line of scrimmage a little bit more this year. And because of that, I think they're also going to use play action a little bit. I think there's going to be more chunk throws because of that. And because A.J. Green, that's exactly what I'm saying. A.J. Green and the way he's looked in practice so far. Oh, he's definitely over.
Okay, so you're going. He's going to throw for more than 242 a game.
Yes.
All right, Kyler Murray. This is the one I can't wait to hear you answer. Over under 680 yards
rushing
for the season. Average it out. Only 40 yards a game.
40 yards a game.
Now, for a guy that's been saying Kyler's going to run less, but the yardage doesn't seem that crazy to hit 40 yards a game.
Yeah, I'm going to go under.
All right. All right. Really?
Kyler Murray. Yeah. You know what Kyler Murray said in the offseason? We should use my legs as a luxury. And I totally agree with that. Don't build your running attack around Kyler Murray running the ball. Build your offense around him, obviously, but let him use his legs to extend plays and make plays.
Obviously, a 1,000-yard rushing season doesn't mean the same when it's a 17-game schedule. But how about this one? Najee Harris.
Najee.
Over under 975 yards this season.
What?
Do you think the Steelers are going to be pounding? This is a no-brainer? Or is there something deep into this? Why wouldn't he get to 975?
Okay, yeah, I'm going over on that.
I am too.
With 17 games.
I think that's, listen, I don't want to tell Vegas how to do their job. I actually think that's a moneymaker right there. Najee Harris over the 975. James Conner.
Yes.
Speaking of old Steelers.
James Conner.
Over under 5.5 touchdowns this year.
Oh, boy.
Will he get to 6 touchdowns on the season?
I'm going over on that.
Are you?
Yeah. James Conner, I'm going over on that. 3rd and short. Goal line. Heck yeah. I'm going over
okay.
on that.
Okay.
Yeah,
you sound strong on that one. I'm not as strong. I don't know how well they'll do at goal line.
Okay.
In the league leaders for receiving yards total, Stephon Diggs is considered the best bet to lead the league in yards.
That's not bad.
There's a tie for second between, and this is all the odds makers, between Calvin Ridley and Tyreek Hill. So when there's a tie at second, there's nobody in third place.
Okay.
And then there's a tie at fourth place, which was really between two shocking names.
Is AJ Green in there?
No. Devontae Adams is tied with DeAndre Hopkins.
Ooh.
For the NFL odds that they are the fourth best players to lead the league in yards. So I'll just ask you point blank. Season's over. Who has more receiving yards?
Devontae Adams or D-Hop?
Oh, I think Devontae Adams.
I do, too. Yeah, I think and yet again, Adams. They're tied for the league leader chance.
Well, the reason why I say that is, once again, I do believe A.J. Green is going to have a profound impact on this passing attack opposite of D-Hop, which will help DeAndre Hopkins and help the Arizona Cardinals win games, in my opinion. I think there's no doubt about that. Devontae Adams, by the way, might be the best receiver in the league with Aaron Rodgers.
And the last one we'll give you. Your quarterback's healthy, your offensive line is back and complete and healthy, and other than Washington's defense, the rest of the division is still bad. Zeke Elliott, over under 9.5 rushing touchdowns this year.
Oh, over.
You got double digits, no doubt.
No doubt about it, Zeke Elliott. Here we go. Hand the ball off. I think there's no doubt about that. I'll take the over on that.
The easiest one for me was the Najee Harris. I don't know why it was. These guys know what they're doing. 975. I realize he's a rookie. I realize you got a lot of questions, but
yes.
The Steelers want to run the football again.
No, I know that because my brother Craig is now the analyst for the Pittsburgh Steelers, ladies and gentlemen. That news, I'm sure, has broke, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He is the analyst of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he says that they are going to run the ball.
We'll see what happens. This is your quick NFL over-under on what Vegas is saying about our Cardinals and some other teams around the league. Coming up next, how do you feel about a guy in year three who has never won a playoff game, never been to a playoff game, suddenly having more say than a guy that's got a ring? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.